Hey, you are listening to Christian Anarchy. My name is Jeremiah, and in a world of political opposition, I unite Democrats and Republicans. Granted, they're united against me, and it's unity in their pursuit of justifying and rationalizing the violence of the state. But at least someone's bringing these disparate groups together. And examine the parts. Your words always cut when they're cliche, but here's my knife because I came for the buffet. This is the way it goes when you are part of it. Nervously saying words, little surprising bed. Thanks for joining me today, you open-minded and brilliant people. I hope you're all doing well, and if you're doing poorly, stop it. I don't like it when you feel bad. Today is going to be one of the shorter episodes, unless I find I have too much to say and I cannot stop myself. If you would like to contact me, you can email me at jeremiahjm@gmail.com, or you can go to the website www.christianarchy.net, where you can find out more information about me, look at some resources, or listen to old episodes. So, on to today's topic. I may have mentioned this before on the podcast. I do quite frequently in my everyday life, but it bears repeating. God likes it when people have the ability to choose things. It's a part of living as a free being, given life in a big world where there are a lot of options and you can't have everything all at once. The very nature of the way people and the world were made makes it such that humans have to make choices based on their own preferences. Part of God's will was for people to be free to exercise their own will in the earth and upon the earth without Him constantly interfering and making them do things differently. He enjoys watching His children freely interact with and enjoy their lives and His creation. There are many choices we make every day which are amoral choices, meaning they have no moral component to them. These are the choices we can make where we are being equally ethical whether we make decision A or decision B. They are the choices we make every day. What to eat for breakfast, what route to take to work, what errands to run, how long to look at Facebook, and whether our armpits smell so bad we have to shower, or if we can get away with throwing on a little deodorant to mask the BO. At the time of this recording, I'm wearing a white shirt. If I was wearing a blue shirt or a red shirt or a green shirt, or you get the idea, you understand what shirts are and what colors are, and that people have the option of wearing different colored shirts. If I was wearing a different colored shirt, guess what? I'm pretty sure God would be totally okay with it. God gave me the ability to make a lot of different choices, which have absolutely no moral component to them. His will for my life is not that I choose shirt A today and not shirt B. Perhaps there are some rare exceptions to this, but you get the point. Rather, His will is for me to decide what I would like based upon my own feelings, desires, and preferences. In His sovereignty, He gives people many options and desires for them to choose as they see fit. As early as the second chapter of Scripture, Genesis 2, we see God created the world where He gave people the ability to make amoral decisions based on their own preferences and wanted them to make these choices themselves. God makes Adam and then gives Adam a task, name the animals. God doesn't say, but make sure you ask for my will as to what the animal's name should be before you decide, so I can tell you exactly what I want to name the animal. Or double-check with me afterward to make sure you name it the right thing. Instead, God says, whatever you name the animal, that will be its name. There was no moral or immoral thing to name the animals, nor was it God's will for each animal to have the name He chose. It was instead God's will to empower Adam, so his decisions create the reality of the animals' names. Choice is an essential part of our very existence. It is a part of what makes us humans made in God's image. The freedom to decide is a part of what gives our lives meaning and adds to them a beautiful complexity. God wants us to have the power to make choices, even choices with no moral component. Governments eliminate many of these choices, which are a natural part of being a human being in the world. There are literally thousands of ways they do this. I'll briefly mention two. I'll start with kind of a silly one. Currently in my city, I can choose any company who does garbage removal who is willing to serve me. There are many local companies competing for my business. They have marginal differences in price and in benefits associated with paying them to take away my trash. And I get to choose which company I would like to hire, and the competition between them keeps the prices low and the service decent, at least adequate. I don't have too high standards for taking my garbage away from my house. There has been some talk lately about the city changing these arrangements. The local talk is the city might pick out a garbage company everyone in the city must use and pay for. What they want to do is make money by having every trash removal company bid for the right to do business with everyone in the city. So if they did this, what they're doing is taking away my natural human right to have voluntary relationships with whomever I choose, like my garbage company, and then selling that right to the highest bidder. They're stealing my rights to make money. If they do this, then that's one less choice I have the opportunity to make in my life. It's dehumanizing. I was created to be a free person, to make free choices. Forcing something upon me is to violate the image of God in me. Would my city choosing my garbage company for me be that big of a deal? Absolutely not. I suspect it would only increase my costs by around 30%, which is annoying, but it's only a few bucks a month difference. I was just giving one small example of the many ways government removes the ability for free human beings to make choices. The Affordable Care Act is another law which has taken away many of the choices of individuals. This is a little bit of a bigger deal in terms of limitations it puts on relationships. The legislation added even more limits on how I can interact with an employer, an insurance provider, a hospital, or a doctor. The entirety of the law is based upon using force to tell two consenting adults or more consenting adults how they can and can't interact with one another. It's another law that also doesn't require me to do anything unethical. It's not wrong for me to get one kind of health insurance as opposed to another. And it's not wrong for me to choose not to get insurance and to pay a fine. It merely sets artificial limits on how I can and cannot relate to other people. It keeps me from exercising the full set of options God created humanity to have. While the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, doesn't require I do anything immoral, the law itself has had a lot of immoral effects. Pretty much everyone's premiums went up. Costs of healthcare went up. Hospitals have had to shut down research centers. More people are without health insurance now than there were without it before the law went into effect. And those without health insurance because they can't afford it are forced to pay a fine for not buying the product the government wants them to. I contend these are immoral aspects of the law. The only group who has universally benefited from this law is large insurance companies. They have quietly seen profit increases and experience more stability because new regulations make competition difficult. I hope no one is surprised by these things. In my short life, I have seen enough government action to know they frequently worsen the problem they claim to be trying to solve. And in the process, major lobbyists and campaign donors and politicians are rewarded. However, even though the ACA limits my choices, abiding by it doesn't really have anything to do with ethics. Many government actions do take away the freedom of people to implement their morality. These actions are even more dehumanizing. It's important to God for us to be able to make moral decisions. God wants us to have the option to choose to do what is right or to do what is wrong. Giving people moral responsibility was so important to him. He made the world in such a way so as to make humanity capable of doing unethical things, even unethical things which dishonor him and have a negative effect on the world around us. When God made the world for men and women and placed them in the garden, he put a tree in the garden they were told not to eat from. God said eating from this tree would result in death. He wanted people to trust him and be free to express love to him. These things both require the opportunity to do the opposite. So God gave them the opportunity and the ability to make unethical choices. He wanted humanity to have the freedom to exercise their conscience so much, he gave them the capacity to go against his will for their lives and for their relationship with him. The ability to choose between right and wrong actions is an essential part of what it means to be human. Government often takes away the ability of people to exercise their conscience in the world around them. Government limits freedom, and therefore the range of ethical choices one can make. But far more disturbing than simply limiting freedom is the way they force people to participate in behaviors they deem unethical. They completely take away someone's natural right of making moral choices and instead force their choice upon others. For those of you who are still political, I suspect the following examples will both have you nodding your head in agreement and shaking your head in frustration. That tends to be my thing. First, the most immediately relevant example at the time the podcast was released is drone bombings. Information has recently been released about the U.S. drone program in the Middle East. They have ramped up the use of unmanned aerial vehicles to bomb people they consider to be terrorists in the last 5 years. There has been knowledge of a high percentage of civilian casualties for a while. However, new information about these drone strikes has revealed the civilian casualty rate to be incredibly high. Above 80% of the victims of the drone strikes are innocent civilians. And there was one 5-month period where it was over 90% of the victims were innocent people. Not only this, but the government frequently, after the bombings occur, identifies adult male victims who were killed as enemies killed in action. Even if they had no other evidence other than that they were adult male victims, that they were actually enemies of the U.S. They just assume because they're an adult male that was killed in a bombing in the Middle East, they must be enemies killed in action, when they may have been just adult males in the wrong place at the wrong time. This helps make it appear on paper their civilian casualty rate is lower. It's pretty disgusting. And the absurd idea some Americans still have that terrorists hate the U.S. for its freedom or because of their religion, and not primarily because of the incessant destruction the U.S. military and U.S. government policy causes in the Middle East, is incredibly frustrating. These drone strikes will succeed in making new terrorists. If a government kills someone's kid, friend, wife, cousin, brother, or sister, one should expect some of those people to try to get the government doing the killing to stop it, even if it requires violence. So these actions are sick. Certainly they run contrary to my conscience, and I'm confident they are contrary to the conscience of most of the listeners. Would you kill 8 innocent people in order to kill 2 people your government deems terrorists? If not, then your conscience is against this as well. But who pays for all this? I do, and you do. We are paying for children to be bombed in the name of fighting terrorism. The government, and anyone who supports their insane wars, is forcing us to provide for them the financial resources for their terrorist acts. We help them destroy the lives of other people. I do not hold myself or you or anyone else who pays for it as morally responsible for our participation, as it is coerced. If we do not pay them, then they terrorize us. We're in a lose-lose situation. And it's not as if a few of us going to jail for refusing to pay taxes to support their wars will help anyway. We need to build a much larger movement in society first for that to make a difference in the future. Because the government forces you and I to participate in everything they do, we have no ability to choose between right and wrong when they decide to do something. The little guy on our shoulder who says, "This just isn't right," is powerless to stop our participation in their criminal acts. Insofar as they rule us, they take away our ability to freely exercise our conscience. There are many examples of this other than war, which affect all sides of the aisle. Also in the news as of late, there has been some talk about the government defunding Planned Parenthood because they perform abortions. Ironically, many of the same people who are against government funding for war are for government funding of Planned Parenthood, and vice versa. Some people think the creature inside the womb is something other than a human creature, or maybe not a creature at all. Some people think it is a human, and killing the baby is tantamount to murder. Regardless of what you think about the humanity of a fetus, to have government funding provided to people who abort babies is forcing people to participate in what they believe to be infanticide, because if they don't, you'll lock them in a cage or kill them if they refuse to be locked up. To support government funding of Planned Parenthood is to say to the person who objects, "You must help me kill these babies, or I will have you killed." I do not think there is any good way to exercise one's conscience in this environment. Coercion screws up the whole process. What about drug laws? Some people don't like illegal drugs. Some people do. Some people think they help with their physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional issues. Who's right? I don't know. And it shouldn't matter. The problem is when one group violently forces the other to do what they think is right. One group wants to lock the other group in a cage for non-compliance with the drug laws and kill them for non-compliance with being caged. That's evil. That's an absolutely evil way to treat another human being. Obviously, those who support the drug war take away the ability of those who want to use some of the illegal drugs to exercise their conscience. They also take away my ability to exercise my conscience. I have to pay for the atrocities committed by promoters of the drug war. I am forced to pay to lock an innocent person in a cage to avoid being locked in a cage myself. I give a little whistle, but there is no response. There is no way to stop them from compelling my participation in their mistreatment of people made in the image of God. Finally, back to an issue for the other side of politics, the welfare state. This is yet another government thing many people think is good. The government provides money and access to resources for those whom it considers poor or incapacitated. Some people might consider this a good thing, but others of us do not. Many people oppose the welfare system, not even because of the taxation required to support it, but because they believe it to be destructive, even to the people it's trying to help. The welfare system screws up natural incentives in so many areas. It encourages single motherhood. It discourages labor. It encourages divorce and discourages marriage. It encourages having kids you cannot afford to take care of. It encourages deception. It discourages healing and encourages laziness. It encourages poverty and discourages saving or investing. It completely restructures the natural incentives, which the pursuit of often results in people living full, fruitful, and meaningful lives. The result is a huge group of people who are alive, but they're not living. The result is, on average, more poorly educated children, higher crime rates, broken relationships, and generational poverty. Like many government programs, it has the opposite of its intended effect. Instead of giving people basic dignity, the program accidentally dehumanizes them. Those of us who oppose this form of helping the poor are forced to pay for it. We are forced to pay for a system which incentivizes having children without a father. We are forced to pay for a system we believe maintains poverty and encourages it instead of eliminating it. We have no choice but to support a system which helps to create a destructive sense of entitlement. We are forced to be a part of the dehumanization of our fellow men and women. What if I'm wrong about the morality of one or all of these issues? It doesn't matter, insofar as making moral choices is concerned. Even if I'm mistaken about, say, abortion, and the being inside of a woman isn't really a human, so? Forcing me to fund something I believe is unethical, even though it happens to not be unethical, is forcing me to participate in something that is against my conscience. Whoever is making me fund such a thing is keeping me from living the way God would have me, free to do what I think is right and to avoid what I think is wrong. One of the beautiful freedoms in being a human made in the image of God is to have the ability of choice, especially the ability to choose to do what is right. It is good and venerable when a person chooses to live by their principles in the world, and doing what they believe to be right, and avoiding what they believe to be wrong. But the more the government does, the more they limit humanity, and insofar as they engage in completely unethical actions in the world, they violently force people who have ethical objections to their behavior to financially support it. Insofar as they rule, the conscience has no power. Jiminy Cricket is dead. Wisdom, my way into the